Charles Hutchinson Gabriel. He didn't have formal training in music, yet he wrote over 7,000 hymns. In 1905, he wrote these words, "For me." It was in the garden. He prayed, "Not my will, but thine." He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat, drops of blood for mine. The war of the worlds took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And tonight, in verse 42, Jesus howled these words, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Number one, Jesus, his battle. Number two, Jesus, his burden. Number three, Jesus, his beauty. Frederick Krumacher said, when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane and read these words, in his mind's eye, he thought he saw a cherub, brilliant, burning, and holding, as it were, a flaming sword. And as if to say, as you enter, remember, this is holy ground. Take the shoes from off your feet, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. The Bible talks about the gospel as a mystery. There is no greater evidence of mystery. The mystery of Christ's deity and his humanity. This hypostatic union in the person of Christ than is displayed here in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been to this garden. There are 8 gnarled trees. They are ancient trees. It's almost as if they are bearing silent witness to this amazing prayer. On the occasions I've been there, I have seen grown men, misty-eyed and tearful. Not just at the memory of Christ's agony, but there in that garden, doing business with God, about their own lives, about their own situations, praying, "Not my will, but yours be done." I remind you, it is Thursday night, almost midnight, in the last week of our Lord's life. He has preached his last sermon. He has instituted the Lord's Supper. That great Passover week, he has explained that he himself is the Passover Lamb, the final, the eternal sacrifice for sin. He has said that Judas will betray him, that Peter will deny him, that his disciples will flee from him. He has left the upper room. He has crossed the Kidron Valley. He has entered into this privately owned garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press, the press that brings the oil. He will be pressed beyond measure. And in his humanity, first of all, we see his battle. Our concentration will not be on Peter, James, and John and their humanity. In failing to watch and pray, our concentration will be upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Because quite literally, Satan and all his demons are released upon the mind and heart and person and the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ to do all in their power to prevent Christ from going to his cross. If you are a Christian here this morning, this evening, you don't need to be convinced of the reality of the devil. If you're a cynic or a skeptic here this evening, you may need convincing. It is plain from God's word. There is a real and active enemy of our souls. The adversary, the roaring lion who seeks whom he may devour. Lucifer, the fallen angel. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said that every Christian must wear the armor of God. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, territorial powers, demonic agencies, demonic hierarchies, the devil and all his demons. And they come, and there is a war of the worlds. A battle between truth and error, between holiness and depravity, between earth and heaven, between Satan and the Christ. Every demon from hell invades the thoughts and the heart, the emotion, and the imagination of Jesus of Nazareth. Number two, Jesus, his burden. The Synoptic Gospels unite in telling what happened that evening. Listen to the different descriptions. We find in Matthew 26 these words, Jesus became sorrowful and troubled, exceedingly sorrowful. In other words, he was if he was pressed upon, as if he was experiencing a burden of the utmost intensity. Listen to Mark in chapter 14. It says he began to be greatly distressed and troubled, sore amazed. My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Listen to the words of Matthew 26 again. He was very heavy, confused, restless, disturbed. Listen again. He was very sorrowful unto death. This anguish is unfathomable. his physical frame seems to be weighed down with a burden which in his humanity he is feeling as if he is unable to bear it. So much so that an angel will be sent to strengthen him. He was in agony, Luke 22, verse 44. There is a conflict. There is a war. There is an experience. There is a burden. There is a weight. So much so he prayed more earnestly. The book of Hebrews, and chapter 5, verse 7 says this. He prayed with strong crying and tears, with loud howls and much tears. And then we read, he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. Verse 44 of Luke 22, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The medics commentating on this verse says it's hematidosis. The capillaries dilate and burst. Instead of sweat, there are great drops of blood falling to the ground. Here is a burden unfathomable. This is strange to you and I. Is Jesus omniscient? Does he know all things? Yes. Is Jesus omnipotent? Can he do and bear all things? Yes. And yet, here he is, stunned, astonished, overwhelmed, in heaviness, shocked, distraught, depressed, terrified. Weighed down with such a weight that it almost kills him. What was this great burden? It's found in his prayer, Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me. This cup, the Old Testament makes it plain in vivid and graphic terms that this speaks of the cup of God's holiness, justice, hatred for sin, wrath, and condemnation. And here, our Lord looks into the cup of God's wrath. And it's as if dawning upon him is the whole weight, the whole burden of what it means for someone who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners to become sin for us. When the Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21. Speaking of Jesus, he said, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's not the cross that burdens him. It's the curse that burdens him. It's not death that burdens him. It's the depravity of the world which he has to bear in his body to the tree. It is this burden that he, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look on sin, is to embrace sin as a sin bearer that he must bear that which is vile, that which is hideous, that which is ugly, the immoral, the unclean, that which is lewd and rude and crude, the lies, the idolatry, the vulgarity, the pornography, the abuse, the hatred, the violence, the wars, the murder, that which is vicious, that which is hideous, the weight of becoming sin for us. If you be willing, remove this cup from me. The abandonment of God the Father, the bearing of sin and scoffing rude, as in my place condemned, he stood. Thirdly, we have his beauty, his holiness, his willingness, his grace. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. He will keep his holiness. He will be just and the justifier. He was made sin for us. He did not become a sinner. His willingness to bear our load, to take our sin, his grace, that you and I, instead of being abandoned, might be adopted. Instead of bearing hell, might have heaven. Instead of the wrath of God, the favor, the mercy, the grace of God. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. For you have drunk the last dark drop, and it's empty. now for me. Hallelujah. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings flow for me. He drank the cup of wrath without mercy, that we might drink the cup of mercy without wrath. There is an active devil. If he pursued the Christ, he will relentlessly pursue you. When in trouble, prayer is the key. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thy will, not my will, is the essence of real prayer. We have a great high priest touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. Thy will be done. No greater word of love and of submission, which Christ, through his agony, has bought for his own redemption and remission. Because of his submission, you and I have the assurance that we can be persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or anything. Let the devil do his damnedest. Let all hell be unleashed against our souls. In Christ, we are saved. We are safe. We are secure. He drank the cup of wrath without mercy, that we might drink the cup of mercy without wrath. How marvelous. How wonderful. And my song shall ever be. How marvelous. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Let's stand and sing.